He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to just another day at the office edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with our resident chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. I'm sure he'll have something to say here once we get through the headlines here. But like I say, it's another day at the office and another worry. What me worry? You remember Mad Magazine and the guy, what me worry? Well, I'd like to count. I could write a book on all the worries that I've woken up to during the 24 years I've been in the business. There's a new worry today, and this time it's Credit Suisse, which we'll be talking about, obviously, because it is stealing the headlines and it is causing nervousness in the markets today. The Dow is down 487 points after a good day yesterday. We're basically giving up what we made yesterday. The Dow is at 31,667. The S&P is down 55 points right now to 3,864. That's about what it made yesterday. The NASDAQ is down 106, 0.9%. It's at 11,321. The biggest victim today right now is crude oil, down 286. It's down 4% and it's clear down to $68 per barrel. And you've got the 10-year down 19 basis points to 3.44%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. With professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Barry, it seems like we just can't get 2 days alike. You know, in the 24 years I've been doing it, there's hardly ever a day that we don't wake up to some kind of scare and panic in the market. And yet, when I got in the market 24 years ago, the Dow was 3,000 and now it's 33,000. And it's almost daily where there's at least one scare, if not two or three scares. Today, it's Credit Suisse, CS. Now,
yeah, they're like the ghost of Christmas past. I mean, they've been a problem for a while. Right?
Yes, I think to put this in perspective, Credit Suisse was a $72 stock back in 2007. And they have been the worst of the worst over the last 15 or so years. From $72, it closed at $2.50 yesterday. It has a history of mismanagement. It has a history of scandal. Now you would think, remember when Swiss banks were the gold standard the world?
Yeah, and some of that piece, I think some of that that hurt them was some of their. Simply that, right? Swiss bank accounts.
They had to disclose, right? They could no longer hide the identity of the mafia or, a terrorist or tax fugitives from the law and things like this, despots around the world. So from $72, it closed at $2.50 yesterday. And for whatever reason, the one that has really been keeping it alive has been the Saudi Arabia wealth fund. They've made a lot of bad bets over the years.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they have a lot of cash and it has to go somewhere, right? And it seems that their in terms of hurdle for investment hurdle isn't very high, because I guess they just got to get the cash.
We've got money to deploy. So they're a big owner in Lucid, right?
Yeah. And the reason, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, and I think they have they were going to be having a potentially exploring a, you know, another stake in another large EV maker, or you know, one of the ones that were floundering. But they're the bank in general, right? And it's kind of like your Mr. Toad's Wild Ride reference a couple of days ago. It's, you know, all of this is obviously overshadowing a CPI and a PPI report this week that we thought we would have been focusing on early last week.
Yes, so. And we'll get to that next when I get through all of this noise
it's wild, but the
surface of the ocean called the stock market. Now, let's put it again in more perspective here. Credit Suisse was a $200 billion, one of the biggest banks in the world back around 2007, before the contagion,
It never really recovered after. No. One of the only banks to really never recover, right? Large banks did not recover after the financial crisis. Of course, Europe, it lingered for much longer. And you mentioned, you know, some scandal, everything else kind of in between there. But it's another, you know, bank that's really been mismanaged, similar to what we're discussing in terms of Silicon Valley Bank.
Well, before Silicon Valley Bank collapsed, it was about $15 billion market cap. By contrast, Credit Suisse is $6 billion. That's it. I mean, it's half the size that Credit Suisse, Silicon Valley was. And now I'm seeing there is a little bit of buying going on in Credit Suisse. It's up to $2.10.
Well, you're paying for the name, right? I mean, to me, the name has been around there for a long time. But
big time.
In terms of, you know, if you had asked me how big it was, you know, in multiple choice, I wouldn't have chose the $6 billion answer, you know, a week ago, simply because, just their name, right? You think
exactly.
of them as being big.
But when I think of Credit Suisse, I think of a gold bar and a vault full of gold and, you know. Instead.
A Mont Blanc pen and snow-capped Alps or something.
Yeah, you know? Instead it's a balance sheet that has more holes in it than Swiss cheese. That's from what I understand. I mean, they're now finding all kinds of accounting problems.
They've been distressed. Yeah, I mean, they've been in a rough patch. Yeah, we got reporting problems in terms of how they're characterizing cash flows from back as far as maybe 2020.
Yes.
And so it's not a good picture from that standpoint.
No. So from my perspective, it's just hard for me to believe that a $6 billion bank. Market cap, that's a small cap, that a small cap bank that has been in trouble for years is going to bring down the entire U.S. economy, the entire global economy, the stock market, the bond market. It's just hard for me to even imagine that. This seems like a no-brainer to me. But you know what? The market will shoot first and ask questions later. So, you know, like you go to bed at night and you had a pretty good day in the market overall, and you wake up and you see the futures down 550 points because of Credit Suisse. And it's just like another punch in the gut, but you have to stop and analyze the situation. Don't shoot first. Analyze the situation. Look at it through the scope. Look underneath the, then I remembered it. It kind of all came back to me when I started reading about Credit Suisse and their history and their past. And like I say, I mean, it's just hard for me to believe that this is some big systemic problem out there that's going to bring down the whole markets. But the markets will do what they're going to do. And they are selling off right now, I think. I will be looking. I can't guarantee I'll find anything, but I would be looking today in the financial sector at the biggest and the best. Maybe there's some bargains. I don't know. Schwab comes to mind. Ameriprise comes to mind. Companies of that stature, not involved so much in the venture capital and that kind of private equity types of things. And the other area that I might be looking in today would be the oil and gas sector. You know, Conoco just got okayed approval for that big Alaska project, which nobody thought that would happen. So I don't know that I'll be buying, but those would be the areas.
Crude below 70. Yeah, crude's below 70 at the moment.
Yeah, because of Credit Suisse Bank. Well, anyways, that's how things happen in the market. Okay, yesterday We had a Dow up 336. We had a NASDAQ up 239. It's giving up half of that today. The market soared yesterday on a CPI report that showed continued cooling in inflation. It came in at 6%, which wasn't hotter than expected. It wasn't cooler than expected. As Papa Bear said, it was just right. Not too hot, not too cool. And the market loved that. That was music to the market's ears. So now here we are a day later, and you've got a troubled bank that's been troubled for many years that is causing a lot of turmoil in the market so far today. And when we come back, we'll dig in. We have the second part now. We got the CPI report yesterday is what the consumer is paying. Today, we get the PPI, what the producers are paying. And what is that showing? What is that doing to the bond market today? And what are the chances now of any rate hike at the next Fed meeting, which could be the silver lining underneath all of this? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Another day, another worry. Is it a big worry? The shocking number for me here today is the 2-year Treasury, which hit 5.1, I think. Let's see, it hit a high of 5.1. Just 4 days ago? It's at 3.80. It's down 130 basis points. Now, Barry, if you would have bought some of those bonds at 5.1, you made some pretty good money.
Yeah.
On the capital, right? On the those bonds have gone up in value. You could turn around and sell those things. You don't have to hold them to maturity.
Right, yeah, mathematically there, you those bonds would have, now that bond would be, would only pay what, it would pay a percent, 1.2% less, so of course that bond price, right, if you're going to be paying, say, 5.1% on a 2-year treasury, you've got to pay more for it.
Exactly, so they've gone up in value, but this volatility in the short-term end of the bond market has been something to behold. Here's another
10-year. The 10-year.
Yeah, here's another unbelievable number here. The 10-year is now at, okay, let's get that 10-year. The 10-year's at 3.41.
Yeah.
You've only got 39 basis points. You had 107. The gap has narrowed. The spread between the 2-year and the 10-year has narrowed to 4. It's still inverted. To 40 basis points from 107.
It's certainly flattened out as an understatement. And, I mean, looking at, you're talking, we touched 3.9, right at, the 10-year touched 4 early last week, I think, when Powell was talking. And so, I mean, you're looking at now, 3.41, which is a, 59 basis point move, which is a point.
The bond market normally doesn't do that either.
No.
I mean, it's usually,
right. It doesn't move that fast.
Luckily, we're on the good end of that. While Silicon Valley Bank was doing the absolute worst thing you could do by buying 20-year treasuries holding them in a rising interest rate environment, we've made a lot of money on the bonds that we've bought recently. I'll have to take a look and see. I haven't looked at them today, but, with this big drop in interest rates, that's what causes bonds to go up in value. Now,
well, and I saw where Goldman, I think, has made, I think, about maybe $100 million on paper in terms of what they bought from Silicon Valley Bank simply because that, the 10-year has gone down, right, 60 basis points since since they had to sell off those assets.
Yeah, Goldman must have gave them a little bit more than the Treasury Department. How did Goldman bought the long-term 20-year U.S. Treasuries.
So they were, in the bond market, right? It's a different, transaction than it is. And for example, when we all buy a stock, right? It's a much bigger market. And of course, people put bids out. Well, of course, Silicon Valley Bank's trying to sell a significant amount of, long-term treasury, long-term notes. And Goldman happened to be, their bond desk happened to be a buyer in that instance and bought them at a, significant discount, of course. As interest rates have gone down, of course, those the longer duration bond is going to go up the most. So that's how they've, I saw on paper that they're up, roughly around $100 million or so.
Not a bad bad bet there. Yeah. Okay, now here's
it's a zero sum game. I had a professor one time tell you, the market's a zero sum game. For every winner, there's a loser. So,
weren't we talking about a 50 basis point hike by the Fed just last week?
Yeah, that'll be. We'll find out on Tuesday. And
all
Wednesday
right.
And
well,
next week.
After the release of the we haven't even got to the PPI.
I know.
After the release of the CPI data, the probabilities of a Fed rate hike skewed further towards a 25 basis point hike with a 75% probability of such an increase. And you would say, well, the other 25 probability must be for a 50. No, for zero, for no rate hike at all. And you know what? That's where I skew. I skewed yesterday. I skewed towards no rate hike at all, because a lot of this bank stuff, it's mostly in the psyche. You start talking about a bank failure and it's on the front pages, that that ripples throughout the country. You got all the talking heads, all the radio talk show hosts are talking about it. Is this the beginning of, and people will then start to tighten up their wallets and, there's fear that the banks will, start reining in their lending, which fuels the economy. Borrowing money fuels the economy. I think the Fed would not raise rates just to kind of calm things down a little bit. Now, it takes a lot of okay, let's do this, the PPI report. I was so busy looking into Credit Suisse. What had happened with the PPI report?
Yeah, so the PPI report came in very good in terms of, I think the producer price index actually fell 0.1% compared to month over month, compared to an estimate of 0.3, so it actually came in 0.4 better. And it was actually went down, and core PPI ended up being at 0.2% for the month, was expected to be 0.4. So in terms of interest rates, right, there's no reason here for interest rates really to push them up. I mean, that's why you've got another huge drop in rates today. Number one, flight to safety, and number two, the inflation data coming in, two back-to-back reports.
For me, this is good for the tech stocks because it reins in the multiple. Any growth stock with a higher multiple, you've got multiple protection right now. And it seems to me like it's pretty good news for maybe the housing market, which has held up surprisingly well. So, this is the silver lining of all of this. Now, I've heard some radio talk show hosts out there saying that the value of U.S. Treasuries has fallen by 25%. That's not true, okay? If you hold them to maturity, you're going to get back. That's all interest rates that's impacting. When you buy a long-term treasury 25 years down the road and interest rates go up, that doesn't mean that the value of that treasury, you still don't have, the full value when you cash it in, but it's subject to interest rates. It has nothing to do with the underlying faith and good credit, of the U.S. government. So there's a couple of talk show hosts that got it wrong. kind of made fools of themselves yesterday talking about the plunge of U.S. Treasuries. That's not the case, all right? It is if you bought them at the wrong time in an interest rate environment. All right, when we come back now, is it time to go bargain hunting here? How much courage do you have? We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Not much has happened. We're still down a little over 500 on the Dow, about 138 on the NASDAQ. It seems to be all about Credit Suisse today, CS, which is a $6 billion small cap. It was once one of the biggest banks in the world at about $200 billion in market cap. It was a $72 stock at one point in time, and now it's a $2 stock. It's been mismanaged. It's been in all the wrong places. It's had scandals. And now its latest issue is they're disclosing issues that they're going to have to restate in their balance sheet or their income statement, and their biggest backer, the Saudi Arabia Wealth Fund, says no mas, okay, no more.
Yeah, and it was an emphatic no more. It was a lot like the no mas, actually.
Yes,
yeah,
no mas. Really emphatic. Hang up the gloves.
You know, absolutely not putting any more money in. The first reason was great. He says, you know, basically it was like, the quote was, of course, a lot of, essentially, they have a lot of reasons why they wouldn't, but the main one being, number one being, easiest one or so, he said, was that they don't want to go over 10% ownership, and then they've got to hit all these other regulatory deals. But it was an emphatic no mas.
Yeah, so exactly. Will it go down? I mean, I kind of believe that just let it go. Let it fail. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, at $6 billion in market cap, how much weight could it carry? Maybe it's a bigger deal in Europe. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
in Switzerland, I would imagine, might be important. But, yeah, in terms of the whole banking front, you mentioned how big SVB is.
It was way bigger.
And it was, it was the 16th biggest or 16th largest bank here in the U.S. I don't know where that falls, at the top in Switzerland, but other than that, it would seem to be hard to see if it had that much of a ripple.
Yeah, a little San Francisco bank was three times the size of this Swiss bank. So, okay, so now I'm just going to look at before we do that, where did the retail sales come in? They came in slightly below, right?
Actually, they came in right in line, they were expected. So the interesting thing is they were expected to drop, and they did, 0.4%, which came in line. I guess they were expected to drop 0.4%. So not much of a story there, short of they did go down.
But we're not seeing any signs yet, just watching the labor markets, watching the consumer. We're still not seeing, maybe we're seeing some signs of a little bit of slowing. We've peaked, that's for sure. That probably happened a while back. You go back to 2020 with all that money sloshing around, that's not out there anymore. It's either been lost on Bitcoin or other areas of venture capital, other areas of the market by now, Cathie Wood's ARK funds, whatever the case may be. I'm going to look at three inverse funds here. The first one I'm going to look up is Inverse Europe, EPV. Okay, will Credit Suisse bring down the European economy? And I did see that one of the countries, their inflation came in a little. France, I think, was a little bit hotter than expected.
Yeah, and the ECB meets tomorrow, by the way, so it'll be interesting to see how that affects their decision in terms of Credit Suisse. But
I'm sure they'll address this situation, whether or not they're going to bail them out. My guess would be no.
No, and they're expected to raise 50 basis points, 0.5%. So we'll see how that.
Wow.
We'll know that real early in the morning when we. So.
Wow. Well, okay, so EPV, the European markets were down pretty hard overnight. EPV is twice the inverse of Europe, which hasn't been a good place to be. Europe, if you look at the Vanguard Europe Fund, VGK, it's done pretty well here. It's had a golden cross recently. And then this came along, last night, and EPV is up 8.4% on 7 times normal volume today. So if you think Europe is going to be hit by this, that this is some kind of systemic event, that would be your tonic for that. EPV, which is an $83 million ETF. It's not the most liquid of ETFs. Okay, then the other one would be inverse the financial sector, the U.S. financial sector. SKF is double inverse the financial sector. It's up 5% today, and it's had a pretty good run here. I got to admit that. It's up 32% since beginning of February between Silicon Valley Bank and the others, and now Credit Suisse. SKF. That's a $24 million ETF, very illiquid if you're an institutional investor. And then the third one, which is probably the most liquid because it's the biggest, how about 3 times inverse? This is the Financial Bear 3X. This is from Direction Funds ETF. This thing has been clobbered, okay, over the years, but it has its moments. And betting against the financials over the last many years has not been a good place to be. But it is up now it's up about 60% since February, and it's up 10% today. So if you're a bear, if you're doomsday, if you think that the financial sector is coming down and Europe is coming down, those would be your hedges or your bets on that scenario. Now, I don't see that scenario myself, but I'm going to keep an eye on all of this. Okay, now, the other issues out there yesterday. The market was up, way up in the morning, and then it took a hit in the middle of the day, and then it rebounded at the end of the day. There were two things that happened yesterday. One was you had the drone and the Russian jet colliding. I don't think it was a collision. I think it was purposely taken down by the Russian fighter jet. It was kind of forced down, and it crashed into the Black Sea. That was a U.S. drone. And then the other one was, how about this by Moody's? Revising the financial sector, or is it the banking sector, to negative. Yeah, it was the banking sector.
Yeah, basically downgraded the whole sector, I think, at least a rating. Others, and then, of course, took the others, I think, got individual banks may have gotten even more of a decline. But it's, it really has to do with the, got to look at the health of some of these balance sheets, right, to understand if they did have a particular run on them, right, what would, what's that look like, right, in terms of getting those assets turned into dollars as quickly as possible.
Well, it seems to me with the fiasco we had in 08 and 09, like Moody's doesn't want to. They're kind of getting out in front of.
They definitely want to jump the gun, right? For them, because they were way behind the curve in 08, 09, exactly.
But when I read, former Fed Reserve members saying our banks are well capitalized, our banks are in good shape, I just don't see the conditions out there right now anything like 2008, 2009 in the financial sector. But on the other hand, back in 2020, I did see conditions that were very similar to the year 2000, which I was a witness to. I saw speculation almost to the degree of the dot-com bubble, and that has definitely come unwound, and that was part of the Fed raising, hiking interest rates to cool all the... Of course, they put all this money into the system, and that goes bonkers, and then they start raising, hiking rates to cool off kind of what they caused, in my opinion. But it was also all that COVID money, too. So anyways, you're like you say, Goldman was a buyer of the underwater securities last week. They made a nice little bet there. They're probably going to turn around cash that in, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah,
now,
I did the math for every interest on that 20-year treasury that you would have bought back in, say in 2020, that they were, early 2020, that I think a lot of these, some of these bonds were purchased in. 1% of interest rate change equates to a 15.5%, decrease in the value of that bond. And so, if it moved 2%, well, that'd be 30%, right? Well, some of their stuff went down 22%, so.
Okay, well, when we come back, we'll look at what is moving in the markets today. There may be some bargains if you have the courage to step up to the plate, but I would emphasize one word here, quality, quality, quality. We'll be right back.
You gotta know where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, as I look at the Dow here, you've got, a few, 5 that are up. The stock of the day, given the conditions in the market right now, would be Microsoft. Microsoft is actually up. They paid their dividend today, and ChatGPT can greatly improve your SAT scores. I don't know how you use it to take your SAT, but ChatGPT pretty much aces the SAP scores. I was at church Sunday, and somebody was giving the lesson, and we had a question, and a guy looked up, I wonder what ChatGPT thinks. And he typed in the question, and it came out with this gobbledygook answer that, I thought, wow, it doesn't know much about the Bible. So anyways, it seems to do well on academic stuff. And Microsoft is up 0.8% today. Procter & Gamble's up 0.5%. Merck is up a tiny bit. Intel, Intel just intrigues me. I don't know why. Just as that pure contrarian, out of favor, AMD was a $1 stock at one point time.
Right.
Okay, so I'm just waiting.
Until Intel faltered, right, and then gave them an opening, and they've hit it out of the park ever since.
So. I mean, you'd be buying Intel before there's a catalyst. There's not a catalyst at all, but I don't know. It's just so dang cheap. And lately, I've just noticed some unusual activity in it. Somebody's accumulating it out there. Maybe Buffett. I don't know. Pfizer is also up. Now, on the downside, J.P. Morgan is down 4.7% today, member of the Dow. That would be, I'm talking the kind of quality is pretty much the gold standard, I would say, of U.S. banks by far. I mean, you look at all the trouble that Wells Fargo's had. You look at all the trouble that Citigroup has had. You look at all of the volatility in Goldman Sachs. Bank of America has had its issues. It seems that to me that Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan would be one, down 4.7%. Goldman Sachs is down 4.7%. And then the oil stocks are also having a bad day. Exxon's down 4%. Chevron's down 3.6%. I've kind of been just eyeballing Conoco, COP, because of the, you know, the approval they got on the Alaska North Slope that nobody thought they would get. And that stock is dirt cheap. It's got to be down today, too. I'm just going to check at Conoco, COP. It's breaking a support a little bit. It's at $96.82, but it's down 4.5%. Okay, now in the S&P 500, the leader there I find kind of interesting. Schwab is up 2.7%. Now, when it comes to our business, Barry, you're down to like Fidelity, Schwab, TD Ameritrade is being bought out by Schwab, and Pershing is the other one. I'm not sure who owns Pershing, if it's a privately held company.
Yeah, the largest being essentially going to be, you know, Schwab and Fidelity, really, in terms of particularly in terms of institutional monies.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of assets under management. Their AUM, the AUM at Schwab is enormous. Their market cap is $108 billion. To me, they're the gold standard of the financial services industry, and they pay a dividend yield of 1.7%.
And they got an upgrade. They actually got an upgrade this morning. There's a forget who it was on. You know, had a pretty large upgrade for them coming up this morning. Actually upgraded a number of names in the regional bank space.
I think, and Schwab right now, it got as low as just 2 days ago during the real plunge from Silicon Valley Bank. That was on Monday. Schwab got cleared down to looks like 40, somewhere in there. Now it's 58. It was maybe 45 or so. Now it's $58, so it's up quite a bit off of its low, and it's up on 9 times normal volume today. And then I mentioned the home builders. Lennar reported earnings yesterday. That stock's breaking out today, up 2.4%. Seems to me like they're a big beneficiary, and Lennar is one of the biggest at $30 billion in market cap. By contrast, D.R. Horton, DHI, which also has a very strong chart, about the same size. And then there's Pulte Homes. Pulte is half the size of those two, but it also has a good chart. The home builders doing very well today. On the downside, FRC, First Republic Bank, in the S&P 500 is down 14.5%. Halliburton, that would be one worth looking at. Halliburton is down 9% today. That's hard to believe with the kind of growth.
Oil? Oil
service.
Oil prices down? I mean,
yes.
I know oil inventories are, I've seen where oil inventories were up and up more than expected today, but that seems, it seems a bit of an overreaction.
Overreach.
I don't know what any other news is.
And Marathon, too. Marathon with the P.E. ratio of 5, MRO is down 7.2%. So there's some opportunities there if you have a contrarian spirit about you today.
Yeah, we're at a 15-month low on oil prices, right at about 15-month low at the moment. So.
And in the NASDAQ, it's the Chinese stocks. Now, there's a wild card out there that they've really taken gone to the back burner, the Chinese economy. And if they come out with the report that things are heating up, you could hit some good buys right now on the economically sensitive stocks right now that are under pressure because of a $6 billion bank in Switzerland. Okay, well, at least for now, I mean, we'll see. Sometimes there's dominoes that fall. I'm just looking at the first domino today, and the bottom line of Credit Suisse is it's been a very troubled bank for a long, long time, going from $200 billion down to $6 billion. in market cap over the last 15 years. So a lot of the systemic risk that would be there is gone a long time ago from it. Get 2 free weeks of our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great deal. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.